The epistle for today's Mass is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Thessalonians. Brethren, we pray and beseech you in the Lord Jesus that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so also you would walk, that you may abound the more. For you know what precepts I have given you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in a passion of lust like the Gentiles that know not God, and that no man overreach nor circumvent his brother in business, because the Lord is the avenger of all these things, as we have told you before and have testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto sanctification in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 17. At that time Jesus taketh unto him Peter and James and John his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and he was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his garments became white as snow. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then Peter answering said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. And as he was yet speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and lo, a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And the disciples, hearing, fell upon their face, and were very much afraid. And Jesus came and touched them, and said to them, Arise and fear not. And they, lifting up their eyes, saw no one but only Jesus. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man, till the Son of Man be risen from the dead. Thus are the words of today's Holy Gospel. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. These words are taken from today's epistle. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. St. Patrick was born in the year 386. His father was a Roman, and his mother was a close relative of St. Martin of Tours, who was a great defender of the faith in France. When he was 15 years old, his town was invaded by marauding Irishmen, and they carried him off as a slave. Patrick was sold in Ireland to a Druid high priest. The Druid religion is a religion which worships demons. And this was a religion that had a firm foothold in Ireland, and a man who bought Patrick was a high priest of that religion. Fortunately, Patrick was made a shepherd, which gave him much time to be alone. And the longer he was alone working in the fields, the more his thoughts turned to Almighty God, and he prayed many hours every day. He was a slave for 6 years. And in those 6 years, divine providence prepared him for his future apostolate. He acquired during that time a perfect knowledge of the Celtic language, in which he would one day announce the gospel of Christ and the redemption of mankind. After 6 years of enslavement, he received an inspiration to escape Ireland and to return home. Eventually, he went to France and became a member of the great monastery of Tours. While in France, Patrick met a very great saint, Saint Germain. And Saint Germain was commissioned by Pope Saint Celestine I to convert the British Isles. And it was Saint Germain who recommended to Pope Celestine to have Patrick work in Ireland. Patrick was made a bishop in Turin, Italy, and without delay made preparations for the Irish mission entrusted to his care. He arrived in Ireland, and immediately he was persecuted by the Druids. The leaders of this devil-worshipping religion were inspired by Satan to get rid of Patrick, for Satan knew how zealous Patrick was for establishing the one true faith in Ireland. In all, 8 attempts were made on his life. As a matter of fact, there was once a plot to murder St. Patrick as he was passing through a certain town. He was being driven in a small carriage by Odron, his driver. Odron had learned about the plot that was being organized for the murder of St. Patrick, and before they came to the place where the deed was to be carried out, Odron asked Patrick if he would be willing to take the reins, as he wanted to take a rest. And St. Patrick, of course, conceded to his request. Scarcely had they set out again when a carriage was ambushed and a lance was plunged into the heart of Odron, who had thus, by changing places, saved St. Patrick's life and won for himself the martyr's crown. The attempts made on his life did not deter St. Patrick. With confidence in divine providence, he persevered in establishing the Catholic faith in Ireland. And in the year 433, St. Patrick vanquished and gained a glorious triumph over the Druid religion. The King of Ireland granted Patrick permission to preach the faith throughout the length and breadth of Ireland. Now, as I mentioned, St. Patrick suffered persecution. 8 times his life was in mortal danger, but nonetheless, with great courage and a commitment to his vocation, he labored zealously for the glory of God and the people of Ireland. All through the history of the church, there have been persecutions. The early martyrs of the church spilled their blood for the faith. In the time of St. Patrick, in the days of the Muslim conquests, in the days of the Protestant rebellion, there have been persecutions. Today, my dear faithful, is no different. Today, there is a persecution. But it is a different type of persecution. It is not a bloody persecution that kills the body. It is a subtle persecution which seeks to destroy the soul. It is a more insidious persecution, for to lose one's soul is to lose God. The persecutions we suffer today are the countless temptations to sin and the attacks against the faith that virtually surround us, among which is the spirit of worldliness, a spirit that is devoid of God. This spirit of worldliness places the pleasures and riches of this world above God and his commandments. Catholics today, and even good Catholics, are susceptible to falling into this spirit of worldliness, for it is like a poisonous gas. It's everywhere. It's in a conversation at work. It's on the television, in the movies, in the internet. And worldliness can be a very difficult thing to detach, because once someone is immersed in worldliness, he becomes blinded by it. Therefore, we must have recourse to prayer frequently. Pray and ask God for the grace to recognize it in yourself. And then we must fight daily against the spirit of worldliness. That is, we must fight against the influence of the world, which places its own interests before the welfare of God and His church. Parents especially, prevent this spirit from creeping into your family by not giving in to the pressures and the opinions of worldly people. Do not let the opinions of your friends and neighbors prevent you from living an upright Catholic life. Rather, allow Christ's rights and those of His church to reign in your heart. Give Catholic morality and Catholic doctrine their proper place in your life. In other words, do not be afraid to practice your holy faith. If you work in an atmosphere where there is impure conversation, or the holy name of Jesus is taken in vain, or our Lord is spoken of contemptuously, do not participate in such conversation, nor manifest your approval for such things, but rather show your disapproval and walk away from those situations. By doing so, you will show a good example, and you will even sometimes gain the respect of those around you. My dear faithful, worldliness is a form of persecution against Catholics. However, we must be strong in our faith. No matter what persecutions the church may suffer, whether they be bloody persecutions or the subtle persecution of today's diabolical worldliness, and the constant attempts of Satan to destroy the Catholic Church, the Church will last until the end of time. And since we are members of the one true Church and of the same faith that was planted in Ireland 1600 years ago by the great St. Patrick, we need to be faithful to our holy religion, for God truly desires our sanctification. We must resist the threats to our faith that the world presents today by enkindling in our hearts a love for the Catholic faith. We must first have respect for God and His commandments. In other words, we need to live well in our Catholic faith in order that we may die well in it. Pray daily for the grace, my dear friends, to persevere in the commandments of God and to shun the spirit of worldliness which pervades every aspect of society today. Use the sacraments, especially penance and the reception of Holy Communion, to help you grow in the love of God. And finally, pray Our Lady's Holy Rosary to help you overcome temptations. Like the great St. Patrick who planted the faith in Ireland 1600 years ago, may his zeal for the one true faith burn in our hearts. And may he intercede on our behalf before the throne of God. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.